We are studying the Word in the book of 1 Kings, and we're going through the life and ministry of the prophet Elijah. In your Old Testament Bibles, we are in 1 Kings, and we are in chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 30. We have said last time that we are focusing on how to live in these days of apostasy. Apostasy means someone who professed faith in the Lord, had heard the truth, and walked away and denied with his or her lifestyle the truth that once this person professed. We live in days where people want to redefine what Christianity is, although it has been written down for thousands of years, and it's so easy to know what Christ means, his words are still here. But everywhere people are trying to redefine Christianity. These are days of apostasy. And apostasy is always tough because it dresses up and with some truth. It appears to be true, but it's not true. I had an uncle that for many ages in Africa, he trafficked in diamonds. And I never forget, I was a young man, and in many of his travels, he came to visit with us, and he says, "Man, you don't imagine how many fools I found out there. People that buy glass thinking it's diamonds and they pay a fortune for it." And today we have the same fact that as there are so much glass that can look like a diamond and people stake their lives and spend their savings on that garbage, that is so sad that today so many are fooled by what appears to be the truth and are spending their lives and their energy in something that has nothing to do with the truth. It looks like, but it's not. That's apostasy. And here in this story we study that the people of Israel were professing on the Sabbath to go and worship the Lord. But the gods they were serving during the week had nothing to do with the God of Israel. And they created the syncretism and the mix of truth and error. And they believed God is going to bless us. The Lord sends this man to tell them that they are wrong and they need to repent. And that what they're doing is they're creating the God of their own imagination. They're creating a God and many gods on their own imagination, but these are not the true and only God. We read last week in chapter 18, that the encounter between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the false god of the Phoenicians, was on Mount Carmel. And all the cards were stacked against Elijah. He was only one fella. There was 850 false prophets on the other side. He was on Baal's turf because they believed that Baal dwelt on Mount Carmel. On top of it, he was calling for fire when Baal was believed to be the god of fire. So these guys had everything going for them against the prophet of the true God, Elijah. What an encounter, what a confrontation we saw last week. Mount Carmel has a beautiful setting. Mount Carmel overlooks the valley of Jezreel, also called the valley of Megiddo. Megiddo was a small town that Solomon the king rebuilt, in that Ahab and Jezebel actually improved with the system of water. But the important thing about the valley of Megiddo, or Jezreel, was that it was a place in the crossroads of the major highway of antiquity, linked Egypt and Syria, for instance. And for thousands of years, the largest armies fought in that valley to control it. History tells us that the Philistines and the Pharaohs and the Persians and Alexander the Great and the legions of Rome and the armies of Islam and the Turks and the Ottomans and the Jews till this day all sought control of the valley of Megiddo. Now, when we study the word, as the Bible teaches us, all these things in the Old Testament are shadows of realities to come. So this confrontation between the prophet of God and the idolatrous pagans, followers of Baal, are but a shadow of a major conflict to come in the future in that same place called the Battle of Armageddon, when the true God Yahweh will destroy the armies following Baal or Beelzebub. It's just a foreshadow of that great day to come, the last great battle, Armageddon. It is important to note in your outline in our bulletin, as last week we looked at confrontation, today we're looking at consecration, and we start in verse 30. And we're going to read through verse 35.
Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
Make sure you underline that. And he rebuilt the altar of the Lord that was broken.
31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." 32. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. 33. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." 34. Then he said, "Do it a second time," and they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. 35. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water.
So we see that Elijah now has called the people. The people whom he challenged to make a decision. The people to whom he said, "Choose this day who you're going to serve. If the Lord is God, follow him. If that false god Baal is God, follow him, but you cannot walk on the fence. You cannot have two ways." And the first thing he does is to rebuild the altar of the Lord that was destroyed. To rebuild the altar of the Lord that was destroyed. This is still part of the challenge to them and to us. As they followed the culture in their gods, obvious what was important to serve the Lord God of Israel was forgotten, let go, fall apart. And every time you and me do the same, and we go a day without praying, a week without reading the Word, all of a sudden, the altar of the Lord is falling apart. Other things are building their altars in your home, in your life. Other gods are coming in to be served. And how sad to see that in a home of many Christians, you don't see people around the Bible reading it and praying, but you'll see families gathering together around the altar of Baal, around the TV set. They cannot miss a program. They will not miss anything. They will even tape and record so they can watch that later. But if they miss the reading of the Word and they miss prayer, they'll say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another day. And all of a sudden, the altar of God in your life is falling apart, is in ruins. So the message today is, if you say you're disconnected from the Lord and you don't see His power and fire in your life, that's because you need to do what these folks just did. Go back and rebuild the altar of God in your home, in your life. Let me ask you this special question. How's the altar of the Lord in your home? In ruins? I want to challenge you to start from scratch like Elijah did, and with the grace of God to raise it again. Remember the story of Gideon's Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord came to speak to Gideon. And he said, look at the misery that we are suffering. The enemy is beating us up and down. Well, when you are out of the will of God, the enemy will trash you easy. But remember the command of God to Gideon? Remember that in his father's house where he lived, there was an altar to Baal? The first command that the angel gave Gideon was, you go home, you destroy that altar. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. And then verse 26, the Lord told them, and now you will raise an altar to the Lord God of Israel. And there, things start changing. But do you know where it started? Where the great revolution that Gideon brought started? God says, it will start in your home. It has to start in your home if you want to see it all over this land. You go home, you destroy the altar of Baal and build again the altar of the Lord. And there, with 300 men alone, he destroyed the army of the Midianites, and God set them free. Start in your home, Gideon. And he's telling you and me today, start in your home. That's where Christianity is to be lived. In my home, in your home, that's where Christianity is to be tested. In my life, in your life, destroy the altar of Satan there and rebuild the altar of God in your home. And if you have to unplug your TV and throw it in a dumpster, don't worry if it costed you $2,000. Your soul is more precious than that. Now, Jezebel, as they followed her, destroyed the altar of the Lord. The altar now is being rebuilt from scratch by Prophet Elijah. He brought them to the place of beginning. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the Lord sends a letter to a church that has so many good works, so many good things going on. And the Lord looked and did an X-ray on people's heart there and says, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. How easy it is to get cold in your relationship with the Lord. And for Him, it is the most important thing in this relationship is not so much how much money you put in a collection box, or many Bible verses you know. Because if your love for the Lord is gone, all those things, he says, are useless. 1 Corinthians 13, do I give all my fortune to the poor? If I have not love for the Lord, it means nothing. And the Lord told them, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. And the Lord gives advice and orders three things. He commands three things. And he says, remember where you have fallen. Repent and repeat the former works. This is still God's formula for you to get back seriously with Him. Remember, repent, repeat. Remember what? He says, remember where you have fallen. Go back in memory lane to that time, to that place, to that situation. Remember. Can you remember? When you start falling away, when your love for the Lord start becoming colder and colder and colder, the Lord says, remember. Go back there in memory lane. Confess your sin. Secondly, repent. Oh, what a good old remedy for sin, repentance. As I wrote down there, by delay of repentance, sin strengthens and the heart hardens. Repentance is not merely the start of the Christian life, it is the Christian life. Repentance involves confession of sin as well, growth in holiness. And then thirdly, you will be able to repeat and do those former works. Oh, I pray that today you take God's advice to your life. Three easy pills, so important. Remember where you have fallen and gone astray. Repent, and then you'll be able to repeat. If you go, you'll see that Elijah just rebuilt the altar according to the word of the Lord in the law. And he offered the sacrifice according to the word of the Lord. And actually even the time when he offered the sacrifice had a profound significance. Did you notice that when he rebuilds, verse 31, he picks up 12 stones, uncut stones, and he starts building with them an altar. But hold on. Wasn't that a fact that he was dealing only with 10 tribes? How come he picks up 12 stones? Is that a fact that Samaria many, many years before had split and started their own kingdom, the kingdom of Israel in the north versus the kingdom of Judah in the south, when the son of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon Rehoboam, caused the split of the tribes? He's dealing only with 10 tribes. How come he gets 12 stones? Not only he picks up 12 stones, but if you're careful to see the timing of this sacrifice later on, it tells you that it was time to about 3 p.m. when in Jerusalem, the offering was brought by the priest and burned in the altar. Exactly the same timing with the offering, the meal offering, in the temple in Jerusalem. What do we see here? We see here that when we turn away from our sins, we are in good fellowship with the people of God. And we cannot be in truly fellowship with the people of God if first we're not in fellowship with the God of the people of God. after fellowship with the God of the people of God is established, raising the altar and putting the sacrifice, then the time of the fire and the offering is exactly the same one when the rest of the people of God in Jerusalem are offering their offer. Oh, my friends, it's impossible to have fellowship with one another if we are not well tuned to Him. If we're not first in fellowship with Him. It's impossible. So many people in today's Christianity are looking for a mixing of putting everybody together. And let's love one another. Someone said, even a clever arrangement of rotten eggs cannot make a good omelet. Even a clever arrangement of rotten eggs cannot make a good omelet. And you cannot have any fellowship unless it's in Christ and with Christ first. Amen? What a blessing. The confrontation will end with the judgment of the weak, but with the reclaiming of Israel as one people. I like one more thing. You noticed on verse 31, we did not leave verse 31 yet. It says that the stones, the 12, were according to the numbers of the sons of Jacob. And then notice the comment there. And never assume that God wrote something just for no reason. It says, the sons of Jacob, and that Jacob, God changed his name into Israel. Do you remember when that happened? Jacob was running away from his brother Esau. You read that in Genesis. He had not settled his problems with Esau. He's running and hoping to make a new beginning, a new start of life. God stopped him in his tracks. There are no new beginnings until you deal with the sin in your life. I'm going to repeat. Somebody's going to say amen. There's no new beginnings until you deal with the sin in your life. Amen. And God stopped him on his tracks and made him face his brother, whom he had deceived. And Jacob repented. And that proud man became a humbled man. And God says, and now I'll change your name from Jacob, the deceiver, to Israel. And you know what he did when he finally enters Canaan and he arrives at Bethel? He calls all his family and he says, first things first. All the gods that you brought from your father's home destroyed right here, right now. And then I'll raise an altar to the Lord, God of Israel. In order for you to raise an altar to the Lord God of Israel, the God who lives, you need to deal with the other gods you've been bringing into your life. You need to destroy them. And I encourage you to do it today before they destroy you. But let's jump to verse 36 and see the confirmation. 36.
And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. 37. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. 39. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, he is God. 40. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there.
My friends, there is confirmation here as Elijah prays. First, what is his first goal in prayer? He says, Lord, I pray that your name be honored, that your name be glorified. This is the first and foremost issue of prayer and reason why we pray, that his name be glorified in my life. Remember the Lord's Prayer? When the disciples asked him, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. And the Lord says, and when you pray, you start saying, what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Elijah says that your great name be honored. Is that the goal of your prayer when you pray? You see, if your prayer doesn't start there, all your petitions are going to be wrong after that. If your prayer does not focus in His glory, in His honor, all your petitions will be wrong after that. Secondly, we read here that it says, Lord, confirm that the word I have spoken is the truth. Oh, my friends, and he says, because I've done everything according to your word. See, serving the Lord is a great responsibility, whatever you do for Him. Ministry is not about you, it's about the Lord. And He's only glorified if you're doing it by the book. If you're in obedience to the Word, then His name is honored. It's not just, let's do the work of God. You got to find out first how you are to do the work of God in a manner that brings glory to Him. You and me have no authority, but this year, you come before the Lord in prayer. What He honors is what He has written in His Word. He could care less how many degrees you have. Have you ever thought that you come before God and says, God, here is Pastor, Reverend, Doctor. Do you think that He's going to be impressed with your titles? But the only thing that impresses Him and brings joy to His heart is when you are obeying His word. And now as He prays, He also prays that the heart of this people will turn back to You. It's called repentance. The heart of this people will turn back to You. That's repentance that He prays for. E Ele está orando para que Ele dize que o coração deste povo volta atrás para Ti. Isto é arrependimento. Arrependimento. Ele está orando por arrependimento. Oh, my friends, what an amazing answer is coming now. Fire comes from heaven. And in that sacrifice, fire represents God's grace and mercy. Because that fire should fall upon those disobedient. But as they surround the altar of God, they find mercy. And instead of the fire falling on them, fell on the altar. What a picture of the Lord Jesus and His cross. The fire of God's wrath that should fall upon us, fell on Him on that cross, so that now mercy and grace is extended to you and to me. Oh, what a God. But for those who stood far away against Elijah, those 850 prophets, judgment came and they were killed. And the Bible says that those who stand outside of Christ one day we'll have to face our most holy God, and they will also perish and be removed from his presence. I cannot even think of the sadness, of the pain. But I just pray that you don't leave this place today without coming to the altar of God. The book of Hebrews said, we have an altar where the greatest sacrifice was offered for me and you. You don't have to stand in eternity to be judged for your sins and cast away from the presence of Holy God. You can come to the altar. You can come today. Confess your sins. Repent. Turn back to the Lord. The Bible says, and in His mercy, He will forgive you. Why wait? Do it now. He is here. The God of Elijah is here, still showing mercy to the repentant one. Will you repent? Will you repent today? Oh, Elijah says, turn from your ways. Bring down the altar of Baal and raise again the altar of Christ and God in your life. I challenge you today. What else in your heart is taking today the place of Jesus? That very thing, destroy it before it destroys you. That very thing today, bring it down in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will bless your soul. As I pray, you tell me you're too weak to bring down the things that are putting your life down and enchaining you. I invite you to come to the altar and we'll pray for you right now. But come, come. Are you in need of forgiveness? Repent and come to the altar. Come now and we'll pray for you. Let us pray. Don't think about the person next to you. Think about what's in your heart and what you need to do today. Let us pray. Father, how great is thy faithfulness. Great are your mercies. They are new every morning. And we sinners stand in your presence in need of grace to proclaim that you and your ways are all righteous. That if you'd cast us all in hell, you had not to apologize to any one of us. But we look to you for that grace and mercy. And we are so thankful that Jesus Christ came. And in our altar in the cross, he took our place. And the fire of the wrath of God fell upon him. And Father, standing in that sacrifice, we are here today. Father, we pray for every soul here this morning. Set everyone free. And where the altars of Baal have been lifted up, in the name of Jesus, we pray, bring them down. Tear down all the strongholds of Satan in people's minds and hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray, set them free. We give you thanks and we give you praise. You, the Lord God of Elijah, still here, the same one today, yesterday, and forever. Amen.